You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. We continue. Gunner's UA, Wednesday's kind of dicey. I don't, so we'll continue with our trial. Pretty interesting. At the end of the Bannon interview, he makes the. They had obviously a lot more footage, but they didn't use it. They used the interview was approximately 28 minutes. Okay, so I'm gonna play for you a series of cuts that were not included in the interview, and I don't know why, because it's when you hear it, you'll go like, woo, like why did they omit this? Why did they devote the whole hour to Bannon? So give me 1 second to unscrew myself. I can't believe that. Oh, all right. I got distracted. Okay, so here you have there's five different clips. The first one is he's talking about Hillary Clinton. And again, this is Steve Bannon, and this is him with Charlie Rose. He's going to be talking to him. So here you have it.
Her very first speech when she came off the beach was nonsense. And this goes to something I want to address with you. Hillary Clinton's not very bright. Everybody says she's so smart, so much smarter than Donald Trump. She doesn't really have a grasp. She doesn't have a grasp on what's important and what's not.
Now, you know what? You hear that, you're like, oh. But listen to what he says. And he draws a really important distinction that I think was one of her problems throughout. And it's this. At Bannon's encouragement, Trump always focuses on speaking to the working middle class. That's who he focuses on. It's all those people in those swing states. And remember, they elected Barack Obama twice. How does he get elected out of that? In spite of all, and with all the craziness, how does she not win that? I mean, hell, she didn't even go to Wisconsin, right? Like, yeah, I own Wisconsin, which is why she didn't spend any time there. So listen to his comment. It's interesting.
And that's what's essential in a leader. Donald Trump has a grasp on what's important and what's marginalia.
What else?
Okay, and she came out. That speech of hers is an embarrassment. Breitbart, alt-right, ethno-nationalism, white supremacists. It landed flat. Okay, and you know why?
Because you want no part of ethno-nationalism, no part of...
It's ridiculous. It's on the face of it. It's
you don't want any part of any of those people.
Well, it's not just that. It's absurd. First off, not only is it morally wrong, it's also totally irrelevant. Economic nationalism is what this country was built on, the American system, right? We go back to that. We look after our own. We look after our citizens. We look after our manufacturing base. And guess what? This country is going to be greater, more united, more powerful than it's ever been. And this is not astrophysics. Okay, and by the way, that's every nationality, every race, every religion, every sexual preference. As long as you're a citizen of our country, as long as you're an American citizen, you're part of this populist, economic, nationalist movement. And by the way, that's 65-70% of the country. And we will get that. That's why, by the way, that's why Clinton's so opposed. That's why the smart guys in the Democratic Party, they understand what's going on. Sherrod Brown gets this. Tim Ryan gets this. The guys of that weekend get this. The people around Schumer get this. They understand it. They're trying to revert it. They're trying to get the identity politics out. They're trying to run. The only question before us, is it going to be a left-wing populism or a right-wing
you
populism?
Said that.
And that is the question that will be answered in 2020.
How about that? How about that little nugget? I'm going to play it again. Okay, so listen to it. Right? And again, this is if you Google's a brand name, not a verb. If you search, yeah, how about that? If you search 60 Minutes Overtime, it'll pop up. And so you'll get the 28-minute interview, 27 minutes and X number of seconds. And then you'll get another series of clips that are down below, and that's where these come from. Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. So I'm going to play this again because there's so much in here. He talks about this populism that's centered on the American worker, right? He talks about Hillary Clinton completely missing it as she goes for this extremely small portion of an extremely small portion of an extremely small portion that he rejects, right? And you hear him say that. Yet, he's because of some of the stuff that's been on the Breitbart website, all right? And that's why I find this so interesting. In my opinion, Bannon staying away from the media is part of his problem. It's part of his problem. The things that you hear him say, if this is him and what he believes, he's a fool for doing that. All right. Email. Mac, it sounds like you're drinking his Kool-Aid. I'm not drinking his Kool-Aid. Listen to his ideas and what he's saying. And tell me where he's wrong in these mistakes. She totally missed the boat. Not by a little bit. She should have crushed Donald Trump with her credentials, with her experience, with the incumbent president. She should have annihilated him. And, you know, in retrospect, you know, a year ago, do you remember the guy from, I need to find that. God, he was a professor. He predicted. He was just he's a history guy. And the Washington Post ran the story, and I played it. But he was saying that in September, August. I got to find this audio. So the trial has been recessed. Okay, here it is. This is awesome. I love the internet. Okay, Trump is headed for a win, says professor who has predicted 30 years of presidential outcomes correctly. Now you got to listen to this guy in retrospect. Okay, this article was published on September 23rd, 2016. Okay, so. Here you have it. What's this guy's name? Professor Alan Lichtman. So listen to this. It's awesome. And now think about it in retrospect. And so, when you hear him talk, listen to all the advantages Hillary Clinton had.
Welcome.
Oh, my God.
So
you know... I can skip this ad in 3 seconds, 2 seconds, skip. There you go. All right, Alan Lichtman here.
I'm Alan Lichtman, distinguished professor of history at American University in Washington, D.C., and I'm ready for the first time to predict the winner of the American presidential election of 2016. The keys to the White House is an historically based prediction system. I derived the system by looking at every American presidential election from 1860 to 1980.
Okay, so it's historical. It's not politically driven. It's historically driven factors that define who wins and who loses.
And have since used the system to correctly predict the outcomes of all 8 American presidential elections from 1984 to 2012. the keys of 13 true false questions, where an answer of true always favors the re-election of the party holding the White House, in this case, the Democrats. And the keys are phrased to reflect the basic theory that elections are primarily judgments on the performance of the party holding the White House. And if six or more of the 13 keys are false, that is, they go against the party in power and they lose, if fewer than six are false, the party in power gets four more years. Donald Trump has made this the most difficult election I've had to assess since 1984. We have never before seen a candidate like Donald Trump. And Donald Trump may well break patterns of history that have held since 1860.
How about that? Now, again, this is him not predicting it the week before. This is in September.
Never before seen a candidate who spent his life enriching himself at the expense of others. He's the first candidate in our history to be a serial fabricator, making up things as he goes along. We've never had a candidate before who, not just once, but twice in a thinly disguised way, has incited violence against his opponents. We've never had a candidate before who is embraced as a role model, a murderous, hostile, foreign dictator. Given all of these exceptions that Donald Trump represents, he may well shatter patterns of history that have held for more than 150 years and lose this election, even if the historical circumstances favor it. Based on the 13 keys, it would predict a Donald Trump victory. Remember, six keys.
Okay, remember. All right, that's why this is so funny. This is in September of last year when all the polls were like saying all this other stuff, right? And but the thing about, and we'll get back to Bannon's trial. Don't trust me. I'm just saying that's what was crazy about this. And so Bannon highlights how wrong she was in going after and not speaking to the electorate. She was speaking to a small fraction of the Democratic Party that is obsessed with this alt-right thing. What is the average American obsessed with? These people are idiots. They're dropped on their head of birth. I mean, it's unfortunate, but we have them running around. Nobody cares about them. That's not what Americans care about. So I find it interesting. But listen to the rest of this. I love it.
Right now, the Democrats are down for sure five keys. Key one is the party mandate, how well they did in the midterms. They got crushed. Key number three is the sitting president is not running. Key number seven, no major policy change in Obama's second term like the Affordable Care Act. Key number 11, no major smashing foreign policy success. And key number 12, Hillary Clinton is not a Franklin Roosevelt. One more key, and the Democrats are down, and we have the Gary Johnson key. One of my keys would be that the party in power gets a false if a third-party candidate is anticipated to get 5% or more of the vote. In his highest polling, Gary Johnson is at about 12 to 14%. My rule is you cut it in half. That would mean he gets 6 to 7, and that would be the sixth and final key against the Democrats. So very, very narrowly, the keys point to a Trump victory. But I would say more to the point, they would point to a generic Republican victory. Because I believe that given the unprecedented nature of the Trump candidacy and Trump himself, he could defy all odds and lose even though the verdict of history is in his favor. So this would also suggest, you know, there's a possibility this election could go either way. Nobody should be complacent. No matter who you're for, you've got to get out and vote.
All right. That's in September of last year. That's awesome. That's awesome. And so he points to, but again, it's, Bannon's talking about how bad she misses it. So I just find it very interesting. All right. Second thing he talks about is the Democratic Party And the civil war the Republican Party has going on inside of itself, in between this faction led by Donald Trump and this more conservative faction, you know, and this populism that Bannon talks about. So, and he talks about the Democratic Party. So listen to the second cut as we continue our trial of Steve Bannon.
Here's the problem with the Democratic Party. The problem with the Democratic Party, there's no Breitbart. The problem in the Democratic Party, they haven't had a civil war. And you know why? The financial crisis shows you that. Obama, and there were guys in that administration that understood that they had to go and hold these people on Wall Street accountable. And they blinked. And Bernie Sanders had every opportunity. He knew about the Clinton corruption. He knew about how the Wall Street crowd has a lock on the Democratic Party. And he did not have the guts to take on Hillary Clinton in that primary. He had every opportunity. He had all the information. He did not have the guts to take on. And the Democratic Party has not taken on.
The
Huffington Posts and the Rachel Maddows, they're just cheerleaders. They're just cheerleaders for the donor class of the Democratic Party. And until they vet that, until they have their civil war, they'll never be competitive. And by the way, there's guys over there that know that. They know that. They have the same problem with their establishment we have with ours.
Cheerleaders. Don't take them to task. So, again, why didn't Bannon come out and talk like this? You know? He's a, you know, obviously a smart dude. And he knows the way the game gets played. I just think this kind of discourse, right? And Charlie Rose, I mean, he's no slouch. But the things he's talking about, I mean, what we all saw with the Democratic Party. So I mean, I don't find anything that he said so far to lack credibility. Some of it are his own opinions. I don't find any of it lacking credibility though, which surprises me. And I have to say, somebody sent me an email yesterday, Mac. I'm surprised that you're surprised. I have to tell you that I was so put off by some of the things that were linked to Bannon that I probably judged him in a way that was unfair. I would be one of those people. Things, and I had somebody tell me last night, I was telling them about, I watched the interview, they said, well, you know, he's a racist and he's this and he's a white supremacist. And I said, no, you should just watch the interview. And so, interesting. And again, do you remember when it came out that that Hillary Clinton on her schedule that she released did not release appointments that she had on Wall Street to go speak? Do you remember that when that came out? That certain parts of her calendar were blacked out? And that's what this speaks to. You know, on one hand, talking to the American people, on the other hand, going to Wall Street and saying, hey, look, you know I'm down with you. You know nothing's going to change. I'll take care of you. We're going to keep doing, you know, again, it's so icky, right? It's so icky. Anyway, next he talks about North Korea. So, fitting that you hear this.
Speaking of your worldview, North Korea, there has been a lot of saber-rattling on both sides. The North Koreans, the president, and some very stern statements by General Mattis, the Secretary of Defense, General Dunford, Chairman of Joint Chiefs. You have said repeatedly, They're fooling themselves if they believe there is a military solution.
What I've said, the important point of what I said, is that the issue is between us and China. Okay? At the beginning of the summer, we were talking about do they
you
have...
You said there's no military solution.
And the solution...
Because it'll kill too many people.
The solution to North Korea, and I've said this from day one, and this is an open literature, is China. At the beginning of the summer, I think it was Memorial Day, we were discussing whether they had an atomic bomb or not. Now on Labor Day, we're discussing whether they have a thermonuclear weapon, a hydrogen bomb. The complexity of building a nuclear weapon to a hydrogen bomb is not linear.
So in
it's
your
geometric.
Judgment, we have no military option.
My suggestion and my recommendation is to solve the problem in Korea. You need to solve that problem with China. It is a client state of China.
And the president has tried to make deals with the Chinese to get them engaged. He even said he would go easy on trade if they would help with North Korea, correct?
And I think it's incumbent upon us, and particularly incumbent upon us on the right, to make sure that we have the president's back in continuing that, and maybe even doubling down on those efforts. That those efforts, what's going to lead, and look, I'm one guy. He's got the best advice in the world. Rex Tillerson, General Dunford, General Mattis, you could not have a higher quality national security team, and many people have said this in the establishment, around the president. Okay? And they have information that I'm not privy to. And they have judgment, and they've been fighting, wars.
So I'm saying
I have tremendous respect for them. But I'm just giving another alternative. That alternative to me is the logical alternative. The solution to Korea runs through Beijing. And we have to engage Beijing. And by the way, they're saying we're doing everything we can. It's not good enough. We have
being the Chinese.
We have tremendous leverage to force China.
What would you do?
I think we have tremendous leverage on sanctions. I think we have tremendous leverage in capital markets. I think we have tremendous leverage with Chinese banks. I think we have tremendous leverage with the Chinese financial institutions. We have tremendous leverage. Tremendous leverage.
Why haven't we used it?
You don't use this lightly. It would have a impact here in the United States. There's no doubt about it.
How about that? So the reason that we don't lay the wood to China is because it's going to have economic consequences on Wall Street. So when we talk about, when Grant comes on and we talk about the whole Wall Street thing, and Grant would say, well, of course. Okay, but that's a big political decision. It's one thing to nibble around the edges and posture and things like that. It's another thing to take that market and stiff arm it and say, stop. Stop what you're doing. Because the leverage that we exercise will come with pain. But it will be more pain for them. You know, he talked about yesterday admitting the Chinese in the World Trade Organization. You know, all the nonsense that they were going to become some kind of liberal representative government and all that. It's all bullshit. All right, we're going to take a break. And then when we come back, you'll hear him talk about James Comey, and then you'll hear him talk about Breitbart. So if you can't notice, I'm moving for acquittal. In my opinion, Bannon, who I don't know shit about, is credible. Certainly to be footnoted, like all men of his ilk, right? But I think he speaks to a lot of people under the bell curve when he talks about American nationalism. Not white nationalism, American nationalism, which is always what's won in this country. And he asks a question, who's going to control it? Is it going to be a left-leaning American nationalism or a right-leaning American nationalism? And that fight is going on in both parties. So, we're going to take a quick break when we come back. More of this program, more of the trial of Steve Bannon. Email. Mac, are you moving to acquit? No, I'm not moving. All the evidence hasn't been heard. Relax. More of Mac Talk next.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Mac, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at battlemug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, battlemug.com.
All I can say about militarybyowner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the SOF community should be aware of.
The Global SOF Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. The Trial of Steve Bannon. Stop that right now. The listen to this email. Hey Mac, pretty interesting. I, like you, have shied away from Mr. Bannon simply because of the reputation of Breitbart. and I just simply choose to get my media from other places that don't seem so shrill. I don't know that I will be a fan of what Breitbart puts out, but I am certainly impressed by the things that he has said in that interview. I don't agree with all of it, but I think I share your opinion in that he's not the idiot I thought he was. Now, maybe the advice that he gave the president and maybe his conduct in the White House are two separate things. If this is the kind of advice he gave the president, I think he's given the president pretty good advice in that he's got a feel for the working class people of this country. His conduct in the White House may be a different thing. His infighting, leaking, and other things, in my opinion, don't have him well suited to be involved in the structure of policy and the execution of a plan. That takes other skills. I think he made the right decision and left. Interesting. You know what? I agree. I went Quarrel. I think that's pretty spot on. All right, let me play a little bit more. Let's see. This is about, you heard about North Korea. Okay, this is about James Comey. Yeah, woo, James Comey.
Let me talk about inside the White House. James Comey was fired, correct?
As I remember, yes, sir.
Were you in favor of him being fired?
It's been reported in the media that I was adamantly opposed to that. I don't want to talk about private conversations, but the media's reported I was adamantly opposed to.
And so in this case, the media is right.
I am a big believer in this city that it's a city of institutions, not individuals. And I think you have to look at it as institutions. The FBI is an institution. The Speaker of the House is an institution. The majority leader is an institution, okay? The Justice Department is an institution. They have an institutional logic of how they proceed and what they're going to do. And you can't get caught up in individuals.
But have you not, when soon as you say that, Steve, you have announced that you want to go to war against Mitch McConnell, the leader of the Senate.
Yeah.
You want to go to war with him.
Yes.
And you just said he represents an institution, the Senate of the United States. He's the majority leader. You want to go to war with Paul Ryan, and he represents an institution.
Yes.
So you want to go to war, but you didn't want to go to war
against
James Comey because you thought he represented another institution, the FBI. Is there not a contradiction in that?
No, it's not. Because with McConnell and Ryan, those institutions can be changed if the leadership is changed. I don't believe that the institutional logic of the FBI, and particularly in regards to an investigation, could possibly be changed by changing out the head of it.
It has been reported that Jared Kushner was in favor of firing James Comey. Is that correct?
You guys have to find that out either through the media or through the investigation. I don't know.
It is also true, many say, and you're a smart guy, that if James Comey had not been fired, we would not have the Mueller investigation. True.
I don't think there's any doubt that if James Comey had not been fired, we would not have a special counsel. Yes.
So we would not have the Mueller investigation.
Would not have the Mueller investigation in the breadth that clearly Mr. Mueller is going.
Do you believe?
Because I think it's a very directional. I think directionally is a very different.
Do you believe Mr. Mueller should be fired?
No, I do not.
Has there been discussions in the White House about firing him?
I would not tell you about discussions in the White House, but I would tell you nothing I ever heard like that.
Someone said to me that you described the firing of James Comey, you're a student of history, as the biggest mistake in political history.
That would be probably be too bombastic even for me, but maybe modern political history.
So, the firing of James Comey was the biggest mistake in modern political history.
If you're saying that that's associated with me, then I'll leave it at that.
You know, and give that some thought, okay? Let's small group in the Oval Office. Hey, Montana Man says, Well, Montana Man wouldn't say that, because when you sit in a small group with Montana Man, he's pretty shrewd, okay? But let's just say we have, I won't name him, but let's just say our opso's in there. He's a fiery little Irish midget, okay? And he's, he's like the Notre Dame leprechaun, right? Running around on crack. Rah! So anyway, he's like, Comey, he's a dead man. Get him out of here. And you would have like me and Rudy and Mike in the room if we were invited. And we'd say, okay, what happens if we fire him? What are the second and third order effects? Does the FBI change the course of his investigation? No. Okay, so then, and then what else happens? So if we do, so they don't change, and then what's the worst thing that would happen? Well, you know, there's been statements made in the press that if he's fired, that there will be calls for a special prosecutor. What? Okay, so let's walk the dog on that. Is that what we need in the early part of this administration? For them, and you know, given, you know, leprechaun on crack? Yeah, for the, yes. I didn't say a name, huh? So let's talk about second, third order effects. Do we need them appointing a special prosecutor? And you know those guys. You know, remember, Mueller's job was to find out what was there a Russian attempt in collusion with those in the Trump campaign to affect the election. Not that did the Russians attempt, because look, as I said yesterday, when Khrushchev tells Kennedy, you know, Mr. President, we voted for you, and Kennedy looks at him, huh? Yeah, that it's not a question of do the Russians have the Russians attempted to affect election. It's what they do. It's what we do, okay? All over the world. I'm sure you could get the special tricks unit of the CIA unit together and say, all right, boys, let's tell stories. Oh, my God, you should hear this one. So we're in Chile, okay? And we send Montana Man, you know, I mean, that's what you're going to hear. We send Montana Man down, and we simply replace the boxes. Yeah. We sat, and for the better part of a month, you know, we were down in Nebraska, and we just asked people who couldn't read or speak Spanish to check this block in a ballot. We put them in a rusty metal ballot box that we had taken for the country. You know, I mean, so they're going to tell you, oh, it was awesome. And we went in a landslide. Boom. And so they would tell you these stories. So, I mean, so that's not the question. So once we enfranchise, once a special prosecutor, Mueller's name not mentioned, once a special prosecutor is enfranchised, then what? Then what? How do we control that? I mean, we don't need that. And so really interesting is who was in favor of that? Because you don't need to be a genius. It's like the small group planning for the expansion of the ground war in Afghanistan. Okay, boys, here's the deal. We're going to expand the ground war, right? We're going to send more troops for a surge, and then the president's going to announce that he's leaving. What? Wait, back that up for me. Okay, we're going to expand the ground war, okay, and we're going to try to create something in Afghanistan that's never been created. So we'll ramp up the troops and we'll get that done, and then the president's going to announce that we're leaving. All right, so Montana Man's sitting over in the corner with his spit cup, right, as he like, and guys with spit cups, they have this way of doing it where they mop up their lower lip, right? They mopped up their lower lip and that skin just below it. Hey, let me get this straight. And he has this kind of kind of, even though he's not from the country, he has this kind of way of talking that he does this. We're gonna try to create something that's never been created and help the Afghan people out and create a nation when they've been city states and tribal areas heretofore. Yes. We're gonna plus up troops to do that. Yes, that's good. We need to do that, right? Okay. And then the president's gonna come behind that and announce that we're unassing this son of a bitch in 24 months. Yes. Yeah, I'm not for that. It won't work. It doesn't work. It will never work. So can you imagine in the small group? Okay, Comey's ass is dead. He's a dead man walking. So I don't know. To me, it's one of two things. Either Jared Kushner's not the brightest bulb in the chandelier, or Trump was just pissed. And he listened to the leprechaun on crack. Fire him! Fire him! He's a son of a bitch. He doesn't respect you. In fact, I even heard he's making fun of your hair. What? And, yeah. Fire him. And you got guys, interesting enough, you got guys like Bannon saying, don't do it. Okay, Bannon, the voice of reason? Yeah. So, interesting. All right. But, yeah, craziness. So listen to this shitstorm. Imagine living this nightmare in the White House. You've got Reince Priebus who can't control the thing. You've got guys like Bannon running around leaking. You've got the Republican leader of the House and Senate telling you, healthcare by Easter, taxes in the summer, infrastructure in the fall. Boom. Everything. And that thing, healthcare, that claymore explodes in your face. Right? So you're walking around with gunpowder on your face, right? Your clothes are in shreds, walk around like, that what the fuck just happened look, right? That's what you have going. So you got that, and then on top of it, we throw Comey into the mix. Can you imagine the gong show that place was to go into work every day? And then people leaking all over the place. And then Trump calling Kelly, hey, John, I'd really like you to consider coming over and being the chief of staff. Yeah, Mr. President, that ain't happening. I can't. I will never be part of that gong show you have going. It's just too dysfunctional. I will say this, though. You got to give the president high marks for seeing that it was jacked up. And going and get somebody that can unjack it. So anyway, let me. And then here's the last segment of the trial. And then I'll read you a few emails and texts relative to the verdict. Bannon on trial.
You're the editor in chief. What's
okay? This is them standing in. Evidently, Breitbart is run at Bannon South. They show this table of people sitting around and evidently writing and posting stories. And they're young people. They look to be 20s and 30s. And they're sitting in what looks to be like maybe a dining room. So it's a relatively decent-sized room. And they said, this is the headquarters of Breitbart. It's in his house. Anyway.
It's the power of Breitbart. It's the influence of Breitbart.
Well, we have the opinion that news is the single most influential driver of the culture that there is right now. Okay, Hollywood sometimes is at times, but right now it's the news cycle is really driving the culture in a remarkable way.
Is that because of the nature of this presidency?
I think so, and the last one as well. And I think just the nature of the way people consume content. And so this is something Andrew Breitbart saw long before just about anyone else. And that's why he started building his news apparatus 10 years or so ago, because he saw the power of the way the center-left was controlling the narrative, and it's really trending far left. And so what he's done and what we've continued in his legacy is a news website where we focus on the facts, we focus on the information, but we're custom choosing stories that we think resonate with a disenfranchised group of Americans, which we think is really most Americans at this point in time.
So what are the custom stories?
Well, it's just so we admit that we have a worldview, which is populist, nationalist, grassroots, conservative. We think CNN has just as powerful of a worldview as we do, as is the New York Times. They just won't admit it.
They have the same. They have a view. They just don't admit it.
Yes, they don't admit it. Exactly.
Yeah, and theirs is globalist. Globalization.
Yeah, liberal left, trending, liberal left. Trending left wing. Yes.
Elitist.
Elitist.
Yes, absolutely.
There you have it. You can find all of that at 60 Minutes and 60 Minutes Overtime. All you got to do is search for it. And that can all be part of your empire. Right, what time is it? I got 10 minutes left. All right, I'm going to take another break, and then we're going to come back, and I'm going to read to you some of the the verdicts, or at least the votes. Interesting stuff. You know, one of the things I enjoy about doing this is I enjoy the intellectual nature. People will email and they'll make fun of me or the content or of an issue, but it's truly. I would tell you that it's very cool. It's very cool to then receive email from the same person, and then all of a sudden you see the intellectual side of them come out. And I think that's one of the things I've always loved about doing this show and the audience it tends to attract, which is it tends to attract. People that have a sense of humor, that are intellectually bent, and love the interplay with the two. And so I've always enjoyed that the most about the shows that I do. And Montana Man just texted, when will Hillary Clinton go away? Okay, let me just, I'll give you the answer to that. Okay, why is she doing this? Answer, she got a gigantic paycheck to do it. Right? We're talking about the Clinton, right? The Clinton Foundation, I mean, the Clintons are about money. So she got a giant payday to do this. Where does this take her? Is the Democratic Party going to embrace her again? Of course not. They're done with her. She may be a patron of some sort and an asset to somebody in a future election, maybe. But let me tell you, that will go down in American history as one of the greatest failures in American political history. And it will be studied forever. But again, what I talk about is you know, you go back to that professor, Alan Lichtman. In September was saying Donald Trump would win. At no time in any of the polls that if you track them, did she get more than 4 percentage points ahead of him, which was stunning given the crazy stuff. You know, one, he didn't have any policy specifics. You know, he just kept saying, make America great again, make America great again, make America great. And we would bag on him. Mike and I would bag on him. And Mike would defend him. I'd say he's a clown. Come on, Mike. He's a clown. And so, but he couldn't, but she couldn't get away from him. She could not get away from him. And that's what puzzled me about the polling and her campaign. Throughout, she could not get away from him, and so it goes. So, but again, why is she still around? Come on, it's the Clintons, as Deep Throat said, and I mentioned yesterday. Follow the money. If you follow the money, where does it lead you to? It leads you back to the Clintons, and so that's why she's around. So, we'll take a quick break, and then we'll come back and I'll read a few emails. More of All Marine Radio on a Wednesday. Interesting show. Coming up next. A lot of people are fans of the trial, too. Mac, do this more often. This is fun. Stopping the interview, reading emails. I love this stuff. Footnoting, linking things. It's very cool. Bannon. Awesome. All right. We'll be back in about 90 seconds.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Mac, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it. This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light, put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out. BattleMug.com.
I'm an individual member. I joined the...
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. Going to slow it down for all you couples out there. Yeah, don't be afraid to ask your boss to work. I mean, to dance. Yeah, come on. She wants to dance too. He wants to dance too. Hey, and there's nothing says you can't slip your arm around your boss's waist and pull her close to you. Yeah. Girl probably hasn't danced like that in a while. Yeah. Might get promoted. You never know. Nothing ventured, nothing gained. All right, let me read you a few emails. Here's the first one. Mac, guilty, douchebag, pull the trap door. I'm sick of that dude. He's just doing a PR spin as he gets his ass booted out of the White House. Don't be fooled. I can't believe how easily you're swayed. Guilty. Next one. I used to read his stuff on Breitbart. Some of it's stupid. But I will say this. He comes off in the interview very well. And I was impressed. So as to your question, is he credible? I vote credible, but needs to be footnoted. And I would draw a line as opposed to guys like General Kelly who don't need to be footnoted. Bannon needs to be footnoted, but credible, no doubt. If you heard his criticism, all spot on. He kept his opinion out of it. He didn't talk about things he shouldn't have spoken about. I'm impressed. Now, again, we're not talking about his conduct as a staff member, just his opinions in that interview. I get it. I'm not looking to canonize him or anything. And then in parentheses, I threw that in there, Matt, because you're Catholic. I figured you would understand. You know what? I do understand. I do understand. I got the memo. I got the memo. So there you go. All right. I've got time for what? Two more. And then we can take up this discussion. I'll play some of this tomorrow for Mike. That's right. It'll send him to the overhead. Just so you know. Not that that would be my intended effect, but it might be. So hold on, this is a text message. I gotta get it teed up. Mac, he is credible. Some of what he said I found to be extremely interesting. And I would certainly in the future pay attention to what he says. Especially when he's talking about the issues that are important to working day Americans. If he's the guy that helped Trump's message and kept it pointed at the American working class, then you can hate Bannon all you want, but he knows what he's talking about. Credible footnote. Okay, here's the last one, email. Mac, I'm loath to give you a compliment. Because you seem to like them so much. And it's apparent from your show that you have a high opinion of yourself. Of yourself. My grandmother told me that. She gave me a Gaelic nickname when I was a kid. But I will say this. I've enjoyed the program. I did learn a lot, as I tend to do, which is why I listen to All Marine Radio. And I do see the difference between guys like General Kelly, men of purpose, men of the truth, men of dignity, men of restraint, and guys like Breitbart, Bannon. He makes Breitbart his first name. Breitbart Bannon. He, to me, is of the political class. They leak. There's nothing they won't do to get their way in this seemingly bare-knuckles alley fight that goes on behind closed doors with leaking and all the rest of it to see who controls what. So, there you have it. That'll do it. Thanks for listening. Tomorrow we're going to talk about you're going to hear about a guy's transition from the Marine Corps what he's doing today, Transition Thursday will do. And then what you're going to hear is doing some nonprofit work. And you're also going to hear, you know, about how his company is looking and enjoys the work of veterans. So tomorrow's going to be cool. My thanks to Steve Bannon for being put on trial. My thanks to Charlie Rose for doing the interview. On behalf of all of us, well done, my friend. Well done. My thanks to, as always, to Grant Newsham. All right, so where we're at, just to recap. UN, sanctions, they were watered down to begin with. They'll be further marginalized by North Korea's ability to go on the black market to get oil and other things, but they will have some effect. There's larger effects in a second and third and fourth round of these things, as the UN tries to have some impact. The greatest thing that happened was the nations of the world lined up and actually did something. All standing on one side, all pushing the other way. All right. South Korea is testing cruise missiles launched from aviation platforms. Japan's talking about a first strike capability. South Korea's talking about the reintroduction of tactical nuclear weapons to the continent. All those things the Chinese do not want to see. All make those relationships with those nations and the Chinese more problematic. So, having said that, that's where we stand. Mark your scorecards appropriately and continue to monitor events in the Northwestern Pacific. Have a great afternoon. This program repeats itself momentarily, so whatever you do, don't touch that dial. We're going to talk transitions and good stuff tomorrow. And we'll get the gunner on and let him react to some of Banyan's comments, especially the one that he says Hillary's not very smart. Michael loses his mind. Have a great afternoon. Semper Fidelis. That's right. I don't say that very often on this program. Unless, you know what I say it? Is when retired Marine Corps Brigadier General Tom Droughty says goodbye. Whenever he says goodbye, he always says Semper Fidelis. Semper Fidelis. All right. Have a great one. On a Wednesday, All Marine Radio, out.